welcome this 12th day of February 2012 to Gates Presbyterian Church. A few announcements as we get started this morning. This would be a good time to silence your cell phones or pagers if you have not already done so. And the Gates Presbyterian Church deacons invite everyone to the reception that will take place following the memorial service in the adult lounge, which is down the hall here. And you'll see it, the door will be open and the heat will be warm. So please join us. And now let us worship God and hear these words from Scripture. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. We are together today to remember and to offer back to God the life of Richard Miller, and to thank God for the hope we have because of Christ's resurrection. Won't you pray with me? Eternal God, our help in every time of trouble, send your Holy Spirit to comfort and strengthen us, that we may have hope of life eternal and trust in your goodness and mercy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who are comfortable, please stand and join with me in the call to worship that is printed in your bulletin. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My song longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. may be seated. Our first scripture reading this afternoon is from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. And from the Gospel of John, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. In the Gospel of John, Jesus' words offer us the peace and reassurance that he is preparing a place for us. The scriptures and poems and paintings through the centuries have all attempted to describe what this place looks like. We can imagine it in our mind, describe it with our words, and create images with our paintbrushes. But the truth is that until we die, we won't be able to see the place that Jesus has prepared. It is a place that Richard called home. Visiting with Richard last Sunday, I could see the pain that he was in. And gently holding his hand, I told him about the worship service that we had had that morning and how God's healing touch can be felt through those who reach out and hold us when we are hurting the most. I quietly sang a bit of the song, Precious Lord, Take My Hand, and assured Richard that no matter how tired or weak or worn we are by this life, by illness, struggle, or frustration, Jesus' hands would reach out to each and every one of us. Home, Richard said. Home. And I asked him, Richard, who's waiting for you at home? Mom, God. Jesus told his disciples that in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. And this is one of those gospel verses which ring in the souls of many of the faithful. The idea of this mansion, as the King James Version of the Bible describes, being prepared for us to enjoy for all eternity, is too wonderful for words. And we imagine the visions of marble and gold faucets, manicured lawns, and crystal chandeliers. They come quickly to mind as we ponder this passage. And when I began describing home for Richard in this way, he just shook his head. Home. God. Mom. The home that God has prepared, and we might imagine, as this incredible mansion doesn't have to be a physical, literal place. For Richard, it was a place where he could be with his mom and his dad, his two sisters, and all those who showed him love throughout his life. For Richard, home was a place where he could experience the incredible, overflowing richness of what is promised by God, and an overflowing abundance that is based solely on God's love for everyone. On his journey home, Richard believed that he was on another one of his incredible adventures. And he approached it with the tenacity and determination that rivaled his willpower to find his way to Tennessee, Washington, D.C., Albany, Syracuse, or down the inner loop, where Richard proved to everyone that his chair counted as a motorized vehicle. And like his many other adventures, this journey with God home didn't frighten Richard. His heart wasn't troubled by what was ahead of him. Richard's body was hurting and tired. And he heard and embraced those words from Jesus, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places." This word "dwelling places" has so many translations. For Richard, it was home, where all friends and family would gather together and feel God's love. I can imagine Richard translating this verse to a little bit different sentence. In God's extended family, there are many places to call home on your adventures. Richard knew of God's radical love and hospitality and sense of adventure. And Jesus promised to his disciples, to Richard, and to each one of us, in the promises made in our baptism, that in life and death, God's love reaches out, takes our hands, and welcomes us home. It is because of this love, this seemingly infinite, unending, unimaginable love, that God has for each and every part of God's creation. We can find peace and comfort in celebrating with Richard on this adventure. We celebrate with him as we gather here together as his friends and his family and his church family, remembering the many memories that he shared with each of us. And so we celebrate Richard. We celebrate the ways that he served here at Gates Presbyterian Church as a deacon with great enthusiasm, compassion, and faith. He was always one of the first to show up for meetings, to volunteer for various responsibilities. Richard worked with the prayer chain. He visited with those who were in the hospital. He was incredibly welcoming to everyone who came through those doors. Richard gave from the bottom of his heart and inspired others who observed his dedication to our congregation. Richard touched the lives of so many here at Gates Presbyterian Church, his family, and Brenda. And we do celebrate Richard, even if we can't see the home he has gone on to. We can see the ways that he has played an important part in the lives of all of us gathered here. So we share in a few of those memories. First, I'd like to invite Donna Carpino to share her memories.
When I think about Richard, I think of this theory they call the 6 degrees of separation, where everyone's connected somehow by about 6 people. And it usually begins with one person. Richard was that one person, at least for me, and I think for a lot of others. He was that nucleus. He connected so many people to each other, and our lives have become richer for it. Normally, when you meet someone, you make a decision within the first 5 minutes if they're going to be in your life or not. I don't think it took that long, at least for me, to know that Richard was going to be a lifelong friend. With that smile and his twinkling blue eyes, he always seemed to have a secret that made you want to know him a little bit better, find out those secrets. And even today, hearing Melissa talk about the things that he did at church, I realize how deep the well was of information and the things that he did that affected everybody here. He was a quiet, still waters run deep kind of guy when he wanted to be, but whose messages came through loud and clear, like going to Washington, D.C., with his friends and the Center for Disability Rights, and with his love, my sister Brenda, to fight for their rights that are so often ignored and sometimes still are, and getting arrested in that protest, which was one of his proudest moments. When he got off the Freedom Bus in Rochester, you never saw a bigger smile. He may not have been physically able to stand, but he certainly stood taller than anyone I have ever known for what he believed in. His love for my sister Brenda. Was probably one of the things that he was not quiet about. He wore his love for her on his sleeve and was not ashamed to talk about it. His happiness to find his cousins, Mickey and Ann, after all these years, filled a void that was there for so long. He loved his family at the Route 96 group home. and they gave him that special caring day-to-day love and encouragement, and he made so many wonderful friends there. I don't think he realized the imprint of courage that he made on our hearts. My sister Brenda would like me to read her message to you today that she has written about her love for Richard. She writes, 7 years ago, when I visited somebody in a nursing home, Richard was visiting too. Whenever I was there, he just happened to show up, and he'd hang around. We got to know each other, and I grew to love him. Richard moved to St. Bernard's Apartments, and then I moved there shortly after that. We shared the same aid services and went to Washington together, got arrested together, and just had fun. During the day, he would find his way down to my apartment, and in order to knock, he would use his motorized wheelchair to go back and forth and hit it with his foot. That's how I knew he was there. And she says, if I wasn't there, he would call me later and say, "Where were you?" He made me laugh and he made me cry. I loved him for his kind and thoughtful ways, always wanting to do more for me. He was my love. There will never be another one like him. Until we meet again, Richard, wait for me. I'll be there. I love you.
I invite Linda Allen to come and share a few memories as well.
Richard Miller was a man of strong faith. He was seeking a church when Jill Bauer met him at Monroe Community Hospital in the early 80s. She brought him to visit, and he became a member of Gates Presbyterian Church. He was a gift to our congregation. He taught us about faith, hope, determination, caring, and patience. He was difficult to understand, but he would repeat himself endlessly, "Until you got it," or "Until you gave up." A group of volunteers transported him to and from church and also to his bowling league. He did the crop walk a number of years. With very little help, he was determined he was going to push the chair himself. He loved our church camping trips and wanted to participate in all of the activities. He laughed through the water balloon and egg toss and the tug of war. Square dancing was hard because he couldn't keep up. Line dancing worked better. He loved participating in the crafts and the small group worship activities and always had his opinion. One year he wanted to swim, so we put him on a rubber raft in the pool. Being Richard, he wasn't content in the shallow end, and he talked us into taking him to the deep end. He loved it, but he got so excited that he slipped off the raft. We nearly all drowned trying to get him out of the pool. He was a lot heavier than he looked. He told me that his father drove a big truck, and when he was young, he used to ride up high in the cab with his dad. He loved seeing the world from there and traveled all over. During the years I knew him, he made several trips to Albany and D.C. to lobby for the handicapped. He lived in downtown Rochester much of the time and wandered all over in his wheelchair. Everyone knew him. He also lived in Utica for a while and moved himself to Texas and to Tennessee, but eventually he came back to Rochester and then to Waterloo. He loved my husband's small red MG convertible, and they took many rides together. Their first time out, when the car was new, they ran out of gas because the gas gauge wasn't accurate. Jim was upset. Richard just laughed. Another time they got stuck in the mud in Mount Hope Cemetery because Richard insisted on that particular road. Richard loved burgers and fries and would often talk us into taking him there or bringing them to him. He also loved chocolate, and I usually took him cookies, brownies, or chocolate candy when I visited him. Richard was a gift to all who knew him, with his faith, his zest for life, and his quest for adventure. He truly tried to live life to its fullest. I've heard lots of stories about Richard this week from people that I've talked to. I hope that in the time after the service that you will share your stories about Richard with one another.
And we continue to celebrate the life of Richard Miller. Thanks be to God. Let us stand as we are comfortable and able and sing the next hymn, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Let us pray. Creator God, you hold us close at all times in our lives. We know that it is from you that we come, and it is to you from whom we return. It is that knowledge that comforts us all the days of our lives, and we give you thanks this afternoon for the life of Richard Miller. For the love he knew from family and friends and healthcare workers. We celebrate his strong commitment to you, and we also celebrate his commitment to his church family. And we give you thanks for all our cherished memories of Richard. We remember his courage at sledding parties and his laughter at camping weekends. We remember the twinkle in his eye when he recounted his adventures. Most of all, O God, we give you thanks for the way he taught us about abilities in the middle of disabilities, about joy in the middle of discouragement, about hope in the middle of struggles. O God, we give you thanks for this teacher who entered our lives and taught us life lessons through living life fully. Hear us now as we silently give you thanks for our own personal memories of Richard. We praise you that Richard is now dancing and singing with his loved ones who have gone before him, and that he is enjoying his eternal life with you. Help us to release him to you. Look in love on his grieving family and friends. Help each of us to remember Richard in ways that give us courage in time of our own difficulties. Hear us as we pray together the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now join together singing Amazing Grace, page 280. God has given us life, and through Christ we have been given new life. We now commend Richard Miller to God's merciful care in the faith of Christ our Lord, who died and rose again to save us, and who now lives and reigns with God and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And we go in peace, and may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us now and always. Amen.